You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We're here for you every week, almost every day. It's the off-season, so we're cutting it back down to 3 days a week, but we're here for you multiple times a week. That's a lot at this point of the season. So thanks for downloading and just being part of our overall lives. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, along with Jay King, who has had one hell of a day.
I walked out of my apartment this morning, and my car wasn't there.
Yeah.
It had gotten stolen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was it was crazy. I guess I'll tell the story. We got nothing else to talk about. It's the offseason. I'll tell the story of my stolen car.
Terry Rozier was at Dykeman. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about Robert Williams and what he might do and how quickly he might do it. But of course, first we have to get into how the hell Jay King's car got stolen.
Yeah. My brothers and I were playing in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament in Western Mass this morning. So I walk out of my apartment at about 8:00 AM. I'm ready to go. I grab a coffee from the coffee shop, ready to drive to Western Mass, and my car's not there. So first I think it's gotten towed, but it's not the tow day. So I call the towing company. They don't have it. Then I think I'm a moron and I must have parked it somewhere else. I have street parking in Boston, and I figured I must have parked it on another street. So I walk around my neighborhood, the South End, for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and no trace of my car. And I'm like, what the hell? Did this thing get stolen? And finally I come to the conclusion it must have gotten stolen. I go to the police station, file a report. No lie, I get out of the police station after filing the report. I'm on the phone with my dad telling him what happened. And I look to my right in a parking lot I've never even walked by before. Like, I've literally never walked down the street. This is the first time I've walked down the street. I was going back to my apartment. I look to my right. There's a parking lot. There's a handicap spot at the end of it. And I'm like, I think that's my Corolla. And sure enough, I have my keys in my pocket. I press the button and it's my freaking Corolla. Nothing has happened to it. They just took it for a spin around the corner, took my golf clubs, took my basketball shoes. Paul George is pretty, I like those shoes. Gonna have to get new ones now. And they took a bag of laundry. What kind of man steals another man's bag
they
of laundry?
Took your laundry?
I was going to my parents' house and they obviously it's free laundry, so I pay $2.25 a load in my building, and I loaded up a bag of laundry and I was ready to go home, and they stole my damn laundry bag. They stole like I'm telling you, probably more than half the clothes I own were in this bag. It was stuffed to the brim. I let it rise for weeks, knowing that I was going to my parents' house, and so. Now I have no clothes, I have no basketball shoes, I have no golf clubs, but I do have a car, and it works.
That's good. Is somebody going to sell, like, authentic J. King clothing on eBay? We're going to have to track some of that stuff.
You know, if there are all of a sudden some
J. King's hoodies.
That's the problem. So many fucking hoodies. I'm going to have to reload on hoodies.
Really had all of those. It's been summer. Like, how long has it gone? How long have you?
But it's been like 60 lately. And at night you gotta have hoodies. I go up on the roof deck. You know, gotta wear hoodies. It's still hoodie season. But yeah, it's It's not good. They got me for my hoodies. You might see some J. King hoodies. And I mean, I have some beautiful hoodies, man. I got some, but not anymore.
Damn.
I'm gonna have to replenish the hoodies.
Damn. So, somebody out there is gonna be walking around in an authentic J. King hoodie. If you see him, stop him. It's a thief.
And the cop at the police station, I walked back in like 10 minutes after I left in the first place, and I was like, I just found my car. I think he was probably thinking like, come on, man, you're just trying to get some money from the insurance.
Yeah, right.
I see right through your stupid tricks, man. But really, my car got stolen.
Well, that's a hell of a start. But hey, you won. You won the tournament.
That's I still made it back. I still made it back.
You played. You won. The King brothers keep rolling. Yep.
Yeah, we've won it 3 out of 4 years. So last year we lost. This year we gained vengeance against the team that knocked us out last year. So we're just pretty much the greatest 3-on-3 team in Western Massachusetts history. At least in the tournament we play in, where the competition is not great.
I can't wait for the Locked On King Brothers podcast to talk about that tournament and how that went. Full breakdown.
I was the worst player on the court. For my team, at least. Although I hit some clutch threes in the finals.
Well, that's good. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
and I got my car back.
And you get your car back. And someday we'll get your – we'll find your hoodies. We'll put out an APB for J. King's hoodies because it's bullshit that someone would steal your hoodies.
The one that I'm mad about is people don't even – when I wear it, only like a few people have even recognized what it is. So it's the Wire sweatshirt, and it's Cuddy's Boxing Gym, and it has like the boxing symbol. It's a beautiful hoodie that only hardcore Wire fans know what it is.
Yeah,
I always felt like the man rocking that thing around. But now someone's gonna pick it up at the pawn shop.
It's bullshit. We'll find it. We're gonna find your stuff. People on the podcast, be on the lookout for J. King's stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk some actual basketball. Whatever little basketball we've got. I want to start with Robert Williams, 27th pick in the draft, and I'm curious because the comparison is to Clint Capella, and he is essentially a freaking clone of Capella. Like, they've got the same height, weight, reach, standing reach, wingspan, all of that stuff. The same measurables for the most part. And the question is, can he be what Clint Capella is for the Rockets? Can he come in for the Celtics and set picks and roll hard to the rim and catch lobs and put back misses and defend? And how quickly? I guess my biggest question is, how quickly can he become any version of that? Can he be productive in his rookie season for the Celtics?
Yeah, I think he'll have a tough time getting minutes because Al Horford, I think, is going to start at center, and Aaron Baines, I think they're going to keep him. He'll be the backup center, and then you'll have Daniel Tice. The front court will have a lot of good options. So Robert Williams will have a lot of talented veterans in front of him. Now, the long-term thing, first of all, Clint Capella is really good. Like,
well, yes.
Clint Capella, all the skills that he does are, like, they help him be special. They impact the team. When you can run down the middle of the lane, when you can defend switches, that's, I think, going to be probably the toughest thing for Williams, is defending guards and switches. That's always so tough for bigs, and he doesn't have the greatest reputation about his work ethic and commitment to working hard all the time when he's on the court. So I think that could be a little bit of a culture shock, but he's one of the few guys, like you said, with the physical tools to become one of those guys. And it's interesting because the Celtics have never really had that guy during the Brad Stevens era. Like Daniel Tice did sort of caught lobs, and Al Horford sort of caught lobs, But Robert Williams is a different type of athlete altogether. And it'll be interesting to see how Brad Stevens incorporates him. It'll be interesting to see whether he can kind of grab hold of that niche like Capella did. Like, part of Capella's value is that he understands what he does that can contribute to winning. Like, he's totally fine with rolling down the middle and setting screens and playing defense and rebounding the basketball and blocking shots. He doesn't need the ball. He doesn't need, like, he just does his role and he does it really well. And that's why he's so good. So it'll be interesting to see what Robert Williams turns into. But obviously at 27, you're not going to get a guy with physical gifts like that very often.
No, not at all. And you see, like, I was watching some of the video today, his ability to catch lobs basically from a standstill is kind of like a big deal, because that's hard to do. Even when you're big like that, it's hard to just take one little half a step and jump up and in traffic be able to finish with the dunk. So he's a good enough athlete to make an impact, and I think make an impact somewhat quickly. And the way you make an impact quickly is by outworking people in practice. And if we saw the reporting, Jeff Goodman reported it, that why did a guy like him go down to 27th when most mock drafts had him down at worst in the middle of the draft? And last year they were talking about him being a high lottery pick. The work ethic question is, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. Whatever was going on in the medical stuff, that was another reason why it was reported that he dropped. We'll have to see what's going on there. But I did see Goodman say that he talked to somebody close to Williams and said all he needs is structure. And where else can you get structure that's better than the Celtics? There's probably like two or three or four teams in the NBA that have a structure as solid as the Celtics. There's no drama anywhere in that organization. So if it doesn't work here, it's not going to work anywhere. So I think that there's a strong potential that they can get him to a point where he's outworking certain guys in practice, or has the potential to, and can come in and get a few minutes here and there and set picks and roll and go up and catch some lobs. And if he can start breaking in quickly, then you have the potential for him by the end of the year getting some meaningful minutes. It's possible.
I think the culture thing is interesting, because, I mean, obviously the Celtics have a really impressive culture. They have, from ownership, which is stable, to Danny Ainge, who's as good as it gets, to Brad Stevens, who inspires selfless, team-oriented, hardworking teams year after year, it seems like. There are a lot of good examples for him in that locker room. I think one thing that's maybe a little interesting is the Celtics, they treat guys like men. And what I mean by that is they don't micromanage the players, and they're not like hounding you about if you go out, if you do whatever. Like, if you're there to work, then it's on you to put in the work, I guess. And so, whereas other franchises, I'm thinking of like Miami in particular, they are on you all the time about like losing body fat and this and that, and really staying on you and kind of managing you to a different extent, I think, than Boston does. And so it'll be interesting to see whether Robert Williams can find that motivation, because when you talk to people about him, the work ethic thing and the commitment to basketball, the fears about that are real. And so I think if he latches on Dal Horford and just sees what he does, and maybe he's like, oh man, and maybe it opens eyes for him, or maybe he comes in and sees everybody working so hard, and he's like, I don't play hard. I'm not getting on the court. I'm not getting, you know, a strong second contract. I'm not doing this or that. So I do think there are parts of their culture that will push him. But it is interesting that they're not micromanagers. Like, for the most part, they get guys who want to work, and those guys work. And Robert Williams hasn't always been known as a worker so far. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits in all of that, and whether he can kind of follow other people's lead once he gets into the Celtics culture.
Yeah, that's going to be the key thing. I would think that the Celtics might decide to be a little bit more hands-on with him, knowing what it takes. But the locker room is going to be where he gets his first taste of, all right, this is what you need to be. This is what you need to do to be a pro. And they've got a lot of solid professional basketball players in there. And like you said, Al Horford chief among them. Horford's going to be in his ear right away. You see a guy that's that athletic, that special, and you know what you need from everybody on this team. The Celtics are trying to win a championship. This is a championship contending team. And it's, I think, incumbent on the players, the veteran leaders in that locker room, to take a guy like Williams aside and say, all right, we're going to work with you, but this is what you need to do, and lay it all out. And he's going to hear it from guys of all ages, from all backgrounds, and we'll see how he reacts. It's one thing to have people tell you this is how hard you need to work. If you haven't been that hard of a worker your whole life, then you could just be like, well, screw you. You know, I've gotten this far without it. At the same time, though, you could respond to that by saying you fell to 27. You're making $1.5 million this year when you could have been making 7 or 8 as a top pick. With your athleticism and your skills, you should have been a top 5 pick, not the 27th pick, and you cost yourself millions of dollars already by slacking. So that would be the easy comeback. So it's going to be interesting to see how he picks up on the direction that's going to be given to him.
I'm kind of spitballing here, but I wonder if Marcus Morris, assuming he sticks around with the Celtics, will be a key voice for Robert Williams. And I say that because, like, Al Horford is, I think, a great role model, a great leader. I'm not sure he loves, like, confrontation. And Aaron Baines, same thing, great role model, great leader. Everybody says Kyrie Irving was a great role model, great leader during his first year with the Celtics. Obviously, some of the younger guys work hard as hell and are guys that, even though they're young, you can kind of look up to as role models. But Marcus Morris, I feel like, is just, he keeps it real. And
that's one way to put it.
If Robert Williams is, for whatever reason, failing, I feel like Marcus Morris might sit him down and be like, yo, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you got to do this, you got to do that. And Marcus Morris is a professional, too. Like, he puts in the work. He's a worker. And I think he might be the guy. And a lot of the younger players this year said Marcus Morris just was brutally honest with them about certain aspects of the NBA. And so I wonder if he'll be an important voice for Robert Williams. But I mean, who knows? Maybe Robert Williams will just come in and work hard for the beginning, but there are definitely concerns about how hard, how much of a commitment level to basketball he has.
Yeah, look, if he has that thing, if something clicks in him and he says, okay, now it's real and I'm going to play, he has the potential to get by some of these other players. I'm not saying that he will pass Daniel Tice on the depth chart or Aaron Baines on the depth chart. Aaron Baines is really, really important. He's a really good basketball player. But this kid with his skills and the raw talent, if he can put the work in, look, we're asking him to set picks and roll and play that Clint Capella type game. And again, I don't want to minimize it. You did a great job of saying how good Clint Capella is, and he definitely is really, really good. I'm saying the type of game that Capella plays, set picks, roll hard to the basket, crash the boards, block shots, you know, that type of stuff. That's all effort-based stuff. You don't need to go through.
I think there's also a genius to it too, though.
Sure.
Right. I really do. I think, like, if it was all effort, there'd be other guys who did it. And it takes a special mix, I think, of, first of all, knowing angles, knowing screening angles, everything. Running the loop at the right time, getting separation from your fan. And that's the thing, again, is the ability to play switches and defend. And I know Robert Williams blocks a lot of shots, but it's totally different what Capella does guarding on the perimeter. And he's one of the few bigs who can hold up on the perimeter, Al Horford being another one. And those guys are so rare, like so rare. And so I see that, and I don't know how well Robert Williams will adjust to the NBA defense. I do think he was woefully misused offensively at Texas A&M. But I think that part of it, like Clint Capella is a special, special defender. There aren't many guys like him defensively.
Well, yeah, no, and look, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that he can come out and be Clint Capella. Like, but that type of player, the same, doing the same things, he's not going to do them as well as Capella, at least not right away. But, no, you're right. There's an art to setting picks. And you could probably talk to some of the best pick setters out there in the league about running a pick and roll, and they could break down five different ways to set picks to, you know, depending on how things are going, how the defense is playing and what the guard is trying to do and blah, blah, blah. Like there's a lot of intricacy to it, but at the same time, it's effort. Going out there and setting a pick is effort, and you can go and be a big body, a wide body, set a decent pick and roll hard. If you can do that with effort and with his athleticism, he can make an impact quickly. It's possible. I'm saying it's possible that he can be a guy that cracks the rotation. He has the skills if he can get that effort to match his skills. He has the potential to pass guys on the depth chart and potentially make an impact this year. If we're trying to figure out how quickly he can make an impact, I think it depends on his effort level and his ability, his desire to put in the kind of work to learn those things that you're talking about and get out there and play. He can get minutes and he can do it without somebody getting hurt. I think he has the ability to go out there and make an impact.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm not expecting much from him his rookie year.
Now that's the proper expectation. That is the proper expectation.
Yeah, and I say that, I mean, mostly just because Celtics are really good. And all the players in front of him are going to be really good. And they could have Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, Daniel Tice, and Aaron Baines off the bench. Not to mention guys like Yabusele and Ojale, who both played a little bit during their rookie seasons, and who knows how much they'll improve. I think especially Ojale is interesting because of what he did defensively. If he, you know, learns how to shoot the three or gets a little more confident offensively, I think he could carve out a role too. So there aren't going to be a lot of minutes in that front court, especially because I do think they're going to play small almost all the time as long as they stay healthy. So we'll see. Maybe he does emerge as a second string center. Maybe he can get some of those reps. Maybe Aaron Baines doesn't come back and that opens up opportunities, but I personally don't expect too much. I think he would have to really earn those and kind of yank them from other guys if he is going to do that.
Fair enough. I think that's, like I said, I think that's the proper expectation. Okay, let's turn to and Terry Rozier, who is just barnstorming his way across the country, and there was a stop at Dykeman, which is, I think, just it's such an interesting scenario. I mean, you watch the guys play on there. There are people surrounding the court, on the court. Like, the court is reduced by, like, 40% in size just because people are standing around on it. And Terry Rozier is just cooking. And you put out a tweet that said something about, you know, look at all that sauce or something like that. And you got a little bit of pushback. I personally,
the pushback was funny.
I think it was funny. I think Terry Rozier is purposely, like, just purposely trying to make dribble. Like, he's not playing out there to just get to the basket. Like, he hit that court to put on a show, put on dribbling moves to try and, like, channel Kyrie Irving type of stuff. And I think that's what he was doing. He was out there just trying to put on a show. That's what you do when you're an NBA player and you hit Dykeman or the Rucker. You're not out there to just get buckets. You're out there to get buckets and put on a show.
Yeah, you want the going crazy. You want the people ooing and aahing. You bring out stuff that you would never even consider in an NBA setting, unless you're Kyrie Irving, and then you just do whatever you want on a basketball court. You just kind of have yo-yos. But yeah, the one move, and it was like people were right. I said so much sauce about this move. He did like 12 crossovers, like two spin moves, and finally faded into like a contested 12 footer, which he made. But it was a terrible shot. If you're grading it by NBA standards, it was a terrible shot. So I understand why some people were giving me pushback, but come on, have a little fun, guys. Have a little fun. Like this guy did like 12 ridiculous dribble moves and hit a ridiculous shot, and you're gonna talk to me about shot selection in a summer league game? Like let's just calm down, guy. He's just out there having fun, and it was, although it was great defense, it was a great move, great shot, and hopefully he never takes one of those for Boston. Because if he does, Brad Stevens will be pretty upset.
No, that would be bad. That would be bad. But yeah, he's basically showing off some handle and just trying to roll on a guy. I mean, what are you going to do? And especially in that situation, it's fun. If he didn't do that stuff, he would get a ton of shit. If he went out there just to just do one little move and get layups, no, that's not what the people crowded around there for. That's not what that crowd was there for. They're there to watch Rozier. I'm sure people knew ahead of time that he was going. They were there to watch him put on exactly those moves. That's exactly what they were looking for. He's playing to the crowd. I loved it. I thought it was fun.
I'm in. I'm all in on summer hoops.
I mean, summer blacktop hoops. That's throw out the common. Whatever you think about the NBA. No, that's not. This is different. It is totally different. So, go Terry Rozier. These guys are having so far like the best summers. Like him, Jaylen Brown is out there.
He's just out of Fashion Week, just enjoying life.
He is living the best life right now. He is playing. He's living the best version of Jaylen Brown that he can be. He's absolutely. It's great. This is the time. You know that. June, July, these guys are your season has gone that long. You're out there like this is go out there, vacation, have fun. You know, it's going to be another month or so before these guys really start putting in some hard work. So it's fun to see these guys go out there and enjoy themselves a little bit.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
I enjoyed myself a little bit on this podcast. This was an
enjoyable one. I enjoyed myself a lot of it, yeah. You know.
This is a good podcast. Good conversation.
It was a good way to end the day.
Yes, especially the way your day started.
So, that's what I'm saying, man. I got a car and I got a podcast.
That's it. So, we'll find you some hoodies and golf clubs, and then we'll reclaim this day for Jay King. Hey, even if you don't find Jay's hoodie or golf clubs, you can at least give Jay a 5-star rating. That's not even for me. Just give it to Jay. Give us the 5-star rating just for Jay today. And give us that good review. Give Jay the good review. You don't even have to mention me today. Just give Jay that good review because he deserves it after all the shit that he's been through. And if you're not a subscriber at this point, you got to subscribe. This dude got his car stolen, and he came back and podcasted that night. And that's trooper. That's dedication.
And I won a championship. I drove to Western Mass with my stolen car to get a championship.
Good shit. All right. So everybody subscribe. Find Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. Everywhere podcasts are available. We exist in that space too. So subscribe and listen to us every week, three times a week until, I guess, summer league when we're all in Vegas and we'll be podcasting every day. So yay. Yay for us.
Those pods will be epic.
They will be fun. They're going to be a lot of fun. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.